You know, it takes not only a talented writer, but a keen observer to bring you right into a story and setting, whether it's fiction or memories. Jerry Apps has done that for many years. And lucky that we're lucky to have him here. He has a new book out, and I think it can help perhaps you deepen your own appreciation of the wonder of nature as you enjoy what's going on in our state in the out of doors. Certainly has for me. Larry Mueller here. Great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Jerry is a storyteller, author of many books, including, oh gosh, Campfires and Loon Calls, Horse-Drawn Days, The Quiet Season, Remembering Country Winters, and his most recent is Whispers and Shadows, a naturalist memoir. And Jerry, great to have you with us again. Thank you so much.
Always good to be here, Larry.
I tell you, you grew up with a deep appreciation for nature, and I know you write a lot about who instilled those values for you.
Well, it comes from several directions. One of the earliest and probably the most influential and most important was my dad, who had a fifth grade education, was a lifetime farmer, but he had an appreciation for the out of doors and nature that I never appreciated until much, much later. Yeah. When I thought about everything that he had taught me, starting when I was probably 2 years old, just old enough to walk. He would drag me around. We would walk through the woods. We would walk everywhere. And he was always telling me, no, that's a white pine, and that's a red pine, and that's a black oak. And why are you telling me all these things? As a little kid, I wondered.
But he was educating you right from the start.
He was. Mm-hmm. And we did a lot of things together. He loved fishing his entire life. Whenever he had any spare time, he wanted to go fishing. And fishing is a wonderful way for a kid to learn about nature. There is no question about it. Especially, and this sounds a little weird, especially if the fish aren't biting. Because you learn about patience. You learn to look around you and see all of what's going on. If no matter what lake you might be or creek or river, there's always something going on if you pay attention. And my dad was one who would point out, hey, did you see those mallards over there? No, I didn't see those. You see that? You see that big blue heron? Just watch him for a while. That's the kind of thing that I cherish today as I remember those experiences.
Well, your most recent book, it's titled Whispers and Shadows, a Naturalist Memoir. Now, what does naturalist mean to you? What does that word mean?
Well, that wasn't my title. But I can answer it anyway. A naturalist, I think, is, at least what I think I am, is someone who not only appreciates the outdoors and nature and has some understanding of it, but someone who goes beyond just appreciating and understanding and doing what my dad would suggest, knowing something. And knowing to my dad meant, and these are not his words, but going to a place that's deeper than merely understanding. It's a head and heart thing where the head might help you understand, but the heart gives you an appreciation that allows you not only to know at a deeper level, but to be able to act when it's appropriate in protecting that which is important in the natural world. That's some of what I see as a naturalist.
Jerry Apps, our guest today, author of many books, including Whispers and Shadows, a Naturalist Memoir. You may have read some of Jerry's books. I bet you have. Do you have a favorite? What is it about his writing that resonates with you? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Love to hear from you. Let's go to Lynn in Coloma first. Lynn, hi. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be able to talk to Jerry. I've never met him, but when we were working on our cabin in Coloma at Pleasant Lake, we would stay at the Coloma Hotel with Dennis and Susan Apps. And Dennis suggested I go up to the library, and he said, why don't you check out one of my uncle's books? There's a good one on Barnes up there. And because I was a farm girl, I checked the book out, and I thought it was wonderful. And my husband and I both read it cover to cover. And we loved your presentation on public television this winter on farms in winter. We both thought that was just fabulous, and you just won an award for that. And then I went back and I read your fiction, because I didn't even know you wrote fiction. I read the Sand County or the Fracas thing in Ames County. Oh, it was so good. I absolutely adored that book. I even think I knew some of the people from Coloma and Wild Rose in it.
That's probably true.
Well, Lynn, thank you so much for calling. That was a very nice call for you, Jerry.
Yes, thank you for those comments. The Barnes book was one of the early books that I wrote. I wrote it way back in 1976, and that book has been through. Let's see, we're on about the fourth publisher now, and I don't know how many printings. and my son Steve is the chief photographer for the State Journal here in Madison. And a couple of years ago, Steve and I went around the state and we re-photographed a bunch of barns, because the many of the barns in the early edition are no longer standing. So there's a new edition of that book out here now.
Which is very, very cool. And thanks again for calling. Appreciate your call. Well, you know, a lot of your memories and reflections that are in the book are of earlier days. But you also share many thoughts about the land that you tend to right now, and Rochera. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, Rochera is the name of our farm in western Rochera County, in town of Rose. And people ask, how did the farm get its name? Well, it's the first letters of Rose, and then the last letters of Rochera. Rochera becomes the name of our farm. We have 120 acres, a couple of ponds, lots of wildlife. I run it mostly as a tree farm. It's my inspiration for a lot of my writing, Larry.
And it is really comes to the fore in this particular book, for sure. Well, one of my inspirations is Judith Sears Poisson, and she's joining us right now.
That's so sweet.
To talk about the spring membership drive. Of course, you rely on WPR for hopefully in-depth discussions and a lot of fun. We rely on you to keep programs like this one going strong. And so your gift right now, any amount makes a difference at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552.
And last hour we heard from 15 new and returning members. Thank you so much for those pledges.
And right now we have a dollar-for-dollar match, and the match is a big one. It's up to $6,200.
Wow.
Yeah, it's great. This generous match is from current members, including 9XM Leadership Circle members Joe and Jean Silverberg from Madison. Joe and Jean, thank you so much. And also a 9XM member from Middleton. It means that they'll match every dollar you give. It's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. So double your support right now for the programs you love. Give now at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552.
From 11 to 12:30 every weekday, we take a break from the news and from politics. We focus on advice topics, the outdoors, interesting things going on at the university and in the state, health and fitness, finances. For example, today we're talking with Jerry Apps about his latest book, Whispers and Shadows, A Naturalist's Memoir.
And there's a not-so-secret ingredient in this winning recipe, and that's listener support. Your support. You make the programs possible when you give at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552.
And you decide the amount of your pledge. Every pledge matters, and every pledge helps pay for the programs you enjoy and count on WPR. During this drive, you can ask for the 2015 WPR Artist Mug when you give $150 or more.
This is the fourth mug in our annual Artist Mug series. It's designed by Nick Robleski, an award-winning woodcut artist from the Driftless region of Wisconsin, and the artwork has a peaceful scene, two swans gliding through a starry night sky, and I hope you'll ask for your mug when you give $12.50 a month. That's $150 or more at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I prefer more balanced conversation. That's what took me to WPR. When I got there, I found a whole host of programming that interests me. Gardening shows, home improvement shows, humor shows, word language shows, things that just grab my interest and grab my attention. It's not just one thing. We had been giving on an annual basis for years. I didn't want this to be an annual decision, and I think that's where we decided to make the change and become sustaining members. It was a statement of values as much as a statement of financial commitment. I'm Bruce from Brookfield, Wisconsin. I enjoy being a WPR sustainer, and I think you will too.
Bruce, thank you so much. And thank you if you've pledged already. If you haven't, pledge right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Judith Sears Poisson, asking for your support of WPR during this spring membership drive. And maybe your gift is 10 or 20 bucks a month. Whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
Maybe you pay your bills online. I bet you don't miss all the extra paper and envelopes floating around the house, not to mention what you save on postage and checks.
You can support WPR in that same streamlined way by becoming a sustainer. You choose a monthly amount, whatever works for you. Maybe it's $10 or $20, and you set it up to come out of your credit card or your bank account. It rolls over every year, so your support of WPR is always current. Easy to do at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And you know, we talk about sustainability and green living. That's a pretty green way to pay your bills, too, don't you think, Larry?
Absolutely.
Yeah. The beauty of contributing to WPR is that it's always accessible and always a great value. You can't say that for everything you spend your hard-earned money on.
No, you get to choose how much you pay for your listening, and you know that you'll tune in. You're going to tune in day after day, week after week, and get that great return on your investment. So please, give now. You know it's worth it at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio is your radio station, the one that wakes you up in the morning, rides with you on your commute, and keeps you company during the day.
And I think the beauty of public radio is that you get to decide how much to pay for the programs you enjoy. Many first-time donors give $5 a month.
Your donation, combined with donations from other listeners, add up to WPR's single largest source of funding. So please become our next new member right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You've probably made it a habit of listening to Wisconsin Public Radio, so I hope now you'll make a habit of donating. It's a good habit, habits you can be proud of. Judith and I both do it. I hope you'll get started today. You can help with your pledge any amount at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
There are so many great reasons to give to WPR, but right now, during this program, our dollar-for-dollar match up to $6,200 is in effect. Please give now. Help us make that challenge. WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR will go twice as far.
And this pledge drive, we're offering something very special. Hope you'll ask for the 2015 WPR Artists Mug. You know, I've got every one.
Do you really?
I haven't gotten this one yet, so
well,
I'm going to have to pledge again. It's going to be mine for a pledge of $12.50 a month, and it's going to be yours for a pledge, too. $12.50 a month, $150 or more at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. It's really pretty.
It is very pretty. If you're not already a sustainer, think about becoming one right now. It's easy to set up those convenient ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card. You can do that right now and get your gift doubled. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Just looking at some of the comments from folks. Madge from Stevens Point says, from morning to night, WPR fills my day with news, music, information, stories and just plain interesting stuff. Where would we be without you? That's great.
Well, and thank you, Madge. And where would we be without people like Madge and people like you who pledge their support right now? Get that gift doubled. It's a perfect time. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Layla from Pleasant Prairie says, WPR is my daily companion for balanced information on what's happening in our world. And you know what? It's my source, too. I hope it's your source. It's Judith's source.
Yeah,
I hope it's
definitely.
Your source as well. If it is, call in right now with your pledge of support. The number to call is 888-202-2552, or you can do it the easy way. Go online to WPR.org. You can make your pledge there. It's quick, it's easy, and it's going to be over and before you know it.
Exactly. And again, $6,200 challenge match this hour. We really want to take full advantage of that generosity. So help us out. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And thanks for listening. So great to have you listening with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here with my guest today, Jerry App, storyteller extraordinaire and the author of many books, including his most recent, which is Whispers and Shadows, A Naturalist's Memoirs. And I hope you'll join in with your questions or comments. Have you read Jerry's memoirs? Do you have a favorite? What is it about his writing that resonates with you? Or maybe have some questions as well about the whole process of writing. Jerry has taught, I don't know, thousands probably of people
That's
over
true.
The years.
That's
yeah.
true.
How to write and how to do it successfully. And certainly, I know he's always happy to answer those kinds of questions as well. Number 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org. Or post on our Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show. We'd love to hear from you. You know, I was a member of the Dane County Tree Board for many, many years, and I really enjoyed the chapter on trees. And, you know, you talk about trees a lot of the way I think about trees. I think about individual trees. You know, I had my choice of offices in our building, our current building. We moved there 3 years ago, and the reason I picked the office I picked was because I could look out on an enormous oak tree, sure. red oak, and it's so much fun to watch that tree change over the seasons. And you have some trees. It was an apple tree that was meaning for
yeah,
you at a very early age.
As a little kid, there was an old broken down apple tree in our front yard, and my this is at the home farm where I grew up, and my dad made a little swing for me with a rope and a board.
Yeah,
and I still remember that very fondly. And then in front of our kitchen porch was a huge old elm tree. And most trees, Larry, you know this, they have stories to tell.
Oh, yeah.
And that old tree had a lot of stories to tell because, for example, when the threshing crew came by in August, all of the men would gather under that old tree and swap yeah. stories after the big noon meal. When we, my two brothers and I and my dad were doing farm work in the spring and summer and early fall, we would often... after a big noon meal, and in those days dinner was noon, we would flop down under that big old tree and nap for half an hour until Pa said it's time to go back to work again, and then it was back out into the field. But under that old tree, where I can remember it as if it were yesterday, the cool breeze going through the branches, and it was always cool under the tree. Of course, it was our house was on a little hill. And this tree provided shade. It I have a lot of memories of it.
Oh, you know, I was thinking about an elm that we had on a home, not the homestead, but the next home I lived in, and that home was always really pleasant in the summer. And Dutch elm disease came, took that tree, And it was like we're suddenly in the summertime. We were in a boiler room. I mean, that tree shaded that home and protected it.
As did our kitchen. Of course, we didn't have when I was a kid. We didn't have much of anything. We didn't have electricity, and we heated the house with wood stoves. And so my mother cooked on a wood burning cook stove all summer long. And without that shade tree. Yeah. That kitchen was hot as it was, but without the shade tree, it'd have been much, much hotter.
You know, as a 4-H kid, now, you did something as a 4-H kid that I did when I was in FFA, but as a 4-H kid, you took on forestry as a project. I never had that in 4-H, but you and
That was one of the first projects I had in 4-H. Everybody had a dairy project because we had all little dairy farms. Everybody had you wanted to go to the fair with your calf. But I signed up for forestry, and I didn't know what I was getting into, really, other than how would I know at age 11 or 10 or whatever it was that I had this great inherent love for trees. But these 50 little seedlings came, and they were only an inch or two tall, and then there were instructions on how to make a planting board where you set out these trees in a little nursery, which I did. Back of the chicken house. That was a mistake. I thought maybe the chicken house, back of the hen house, would be a good place because there's a little more moist there. But the problem was that's where the earthworms were as well. And I set out my I set out my little nursery. And one day I came out there, and here half of my nursery is all torn up. The chickens didn't care about the nursery. They didn't care about the trees. They were looking for worms. So I said to my dad, we're going to have to do something about this. Those chickens are ruining my 4-H project. And so we put a fence. We put a fence around that little nursery. And Larry, it was just a week ago that I drove by those trees that I planted in 1947. And they are 60-some feet tall now.
Yeah.
And they're on the farm, the home farm, which is I don't own anymore. And they're probably, I don't know, 2-3 feet across. It's a wonderful feeling to be able to say, look, I planted those trees. My grandkids say, really? I said, I planted those trees in 1947. 1947 to my grandkids is like in the 17th century. But
well, I've got some of those from the 60s, late 60s we planted that. I mean, they're enormous,
of course.
It's so much fun to see those
trees. So once we got the farm, Rochelle, that we talked about before, once we got that farm, I started planting trees. We got the farm in 1966. We started planting trees that very first year. We planted 2,000 trees in 66, another 2,000 in 67, another 2,000 in 68. And every year since, we have planted at least 25 trees, sometimes 50. One year, 7,000.
Oh, my goodness.
So and people are like, what are you got room for another tree? Well, we have 120 acres, and we have room for another tree.
Rocky Nirneshkoro up next. Rocky, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hey, how you doing?
Great. Appreciate the call.
I don't live in Nishkar. I live in Washera County, but that's my address in Nishkar. But anyhow, I appreciate your comments. Your guest is awesome. I just moved up here from the Edgerton area.
Yep.
About 5 years ago, and I just love it. The birds are awesome. Awesome.
An awesome place to live. You know, and... Well, Rocky, you need to take a look at some of Jerry's books, and this latest one. I mean, you're writing a lot about Rochera.
I am
in that book.
And it in some ways it's the story of the farm. The history of the farm is another book called Old Farm: A History.
Yeah.
That's where I really dug out the history. But now I felt compelled to do more with the natural features, with the birds and the trees and the animals and all the rest of it. And I also am fascinated with how, since we've owned the place since 1966, how things have changed and how they haven't. Some things change, some things don't. We have a pair of sandhill cranes that nest we have two ponds, on one of our ponds. And I'll bet those sandhills have been there 20 years in a row. I talked to Scott Craven about that the other day when we were having lunch. And he said, that could be. And I said, Scott, how is it that they know, after migrating, to find exactly within a few feet of where they nested the previous year? And he agreed that that's one of the great mysteries of nature. And nature is full of mysteries, which makes it even more interesting to me.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you've got, just thinking about the trees, there's a maple tree that you talk about. You talk about seasons in one of your chapters, which I really enjoy.
Yeah, well, the maple tree is one that my kids gave me for my 60th birthday, I think. It's in our front yard. And so it has a neat story to go along with it. But I do. One of the things that has kept me in Wisconsin these many years, and I had opportunities to teach all over the place, but I turned them down because there's something about Wisconsin that's compelling, and that one thing is the seasonal change. There is no questioning. When winter arrives, we know what winter is in Wisconsin. Yeah. If you live in Georgia, you're never quite sure.
Yeah.
Or Tennessee or Louisiana, when they say, well, it's winter. Well, really, is it? Well, in Wisconsin, there isn't any question about when it's winter. But one of my favorite seasons, and I talk about that fairly extensively in the book, is fall. There's something about from about the 1st of September until the middle of November that is absolutely stunningly beautiful. And also, it has a feeling connected to it. The feeling of fall is one that once you experience it, it stays with you. It's very, very special. And you know this, Larry.
And the maple trees, you know.
The color. I have 60 acres of hardwood. On my farm.
Oh, boy.
About half of which is maple. And it is just stunningly beautiful in the fall.
And it's so much fun. It's, well, and you know what you combine that with? You combine that with a little wood smoke.
Yes. And
there you go.
We warm. I've never gotten over the fact that I grew up with wood stoves, and my kids say, "Well, Grandpa or Dad, you don't need wood stoves. I have a wood stove that heats my cabin." And to me, to come in on a chilly fall afternoon, from maybe making wood out in the back 40, and the first thing that captures my attention is the smell of wood smoke.
Yeah,
I mean, it is absolutely stunning. And not only I know I'm getting closer to home now, to the cabin, but it is so full of memories because it takes me back to growing up with wood stoves and walking. We walked everywhere, of course, when I was a kid, and we walked to country school. And you knew you were getting home from the country school on a 10 below, 20 below, 30 below winter day. When you could smell the wood smoke.
Oh, man. Jerry Apps, our guest today, author of many books, including Whispers and Shadows, a naturalist memoir. That's what we're talking about with him today. And one of the great naturalists at Wisconsin Public Radio is Judith Sears Poisson, joining us to talk with you about something really important. You know, you're always going to hear something worthwhile when you tune in to our program here. And today, we're asking you to put a value on this program and everything else you hear on WPR. I hope you'll make a gift at WPR.org or phone in 888-202-2552. In support of Wisconsin Public Radio and this program.
It's true. We don't forget, we have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now, up to $6,200. We are at $1,600. So we have a long way to go to match that. It's such a great time to pledge because current members, including 9XM Leadership Circle members Joe and Jean Silverberg from Madison and a 9XM member from Middleton, will double every dollar you give. It's their way of inspiring you to support WPR. So double the impact of your pledge right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You've been enjoying this conversation today with Jerry Apps about his latest book, Whispers and Shadows, a Naturalist Memoir. And I think this is an example of kind of the fun and interesting conversations that we have on this show.
I think so, too. So we hope that you will right now take just a few minutes to make this program and many more programs possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you, then make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
During this membership drive, you can get the 4th annual Wisconsin Public Radio Artist Mug when you give $12.50 a month. That's $150 or more. Your donation supports the programs you count on. And, of course, you can also get this beautiful mug,
it's
which
really
I am
lovely.
Going to get one myself, as a matter of fact.
And even better, the mug is USA-made. It's featuring a design by award-winning Wisconsin artist Nick Robleski. It's a woodcut print, really, really beautiful, with two elegant swans soaring through a starry night sky. So check out the design and ask for yours now when you pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
WPR has been around for a long time because we're committed to quality. The quality is possible thanks to you. Listener donations make up the largest piece of our budget.
Yeah, and your contribution makes this program possible. It's really that simple an equation. So please do your part for and be part of the quality you hear every day on WPR when you donate at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I've been a public radio listener for as long as it's been around. It's a long time. Public radio for me is pretty much the only kind of radio that that I would choose to listen to. My name is Penny, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for programming I can't get anywhere else.
Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your pledge during this spring membership drive. Larry Mueller here with Judith Sears-Poisson asking for your support of WPR. Your gift, maybe it's $10 or $15 a month, whatever amount. That's the right amount.
And the state budget is in the news a lot. And as proposed, the budget puts state funding for Wisconsin Public Radio at risk.
It certainly does. The state's investment has brought a wide range of public broadcasting services to Wisconsin, like preparing kids for school, resources through K through 12 education, and the ability to broadcast throughout the state.
Meanwhile, listener support, that's your support, keeps WPR programming strong. So thank you for your financial support right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Pledge drives are time to celebrate the quality you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio. You listen because you enjoy the programs. And now we're asking you to back up that feeling with your financial support.
Listeners provide the single largest piece of our budget. The programs you enjoy every day are possible thanks to that significant piece of the budget pie. So give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You probably have a story about how you first became a WPR listener. Maybe you discovered us by accident and never change the station again.
Well, now is the time to create the story about how you first became a WPR donor. Maybe it starts out like, I was listening to WPR as usual today when I realized it was time to donate. Finish the story with your first ever donation of, say, $5 a month. You can do that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And there are so many ways that we can say, make your pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio. You know, we can say, stand up and be counted, or make your voice heard, or support what you love. You do all those things, and you really make a difference when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Amy from Madison says it this way. She says, I donate every year because I listen all the time, either live or on demand. Well, thank you, Amy. And I'm guessing Amy took advantage of that dollar-for-dollar match that is still in effect. We are at $1,865 of a $6,200 match. We do not want to leave a penny of that on the table, and we only have 20 more minutes to make that match. So please give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and your support of WPR will go twice as far.
And while you're at it, if you pledge $12.50 a month or more, it's $150 or more, we will send you the new Wisconsin Public Radio mug, something very special. It's our WPR artist mug for 2015. I've got all the previous ones, and I'll have the new one as well. Join me at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552.
If you're not already a sustainer, become one right now. It's easy to set up convenient ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card, and it will count towards our dollar-for-dollar match. So do that right now. There really is no better time than now to do it. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And thanks if you've already contributed. Thank you so much for listening in here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here with one of my favorite guests, Jerry Apps, storyteller extraordinaire, author of many books, including the one we're talking about today, Whispers and Shadows, a naturalist memoir. You can join in with your questions or comments at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show, and we'd certainly love to hear from you. We had a Facebook comment from Treva. It's kind of a note to Jerry, to you, Jerry. It says, I saw Darlene Krajnabel last week. I'm still so grateful for the teaching and encouragement you both gave me at the Rhinelander School of the Arts back in 1997.
Yeah, I started teaching there in 1971. So.
Not a long, long time.
Oh, yeah.
You're still doing it?
No. I teach at the Clearing now in Door County, but not at Rhinelander.
But it does remind me that you have a number of meetings or events coming up where you're going to be talking.
Let me quickly do those. Today, this very day, April 28th, at 6:30 this afternoon, I'm at the Skyline Golf Course. Black River Falls Library is sponsoring the event. So 6:30 this afternoon at the Skyline Golf Course, Black River Falls. And on Sunday, May 3rd, at 1 o'clock, I'm at Reader's Realm Bookstore in Montello, which is right on Montello Street. And then on Tuesday, May 5th, at 10:30 in the morning, I'm at the Chilton Library in Chilton, and then just one more. There are a bunch more, but I'll mention one more. Tuesday, May 12th at 10 o'clock, the Wisconsin Historical Society will be in Eau Claire for part of their history tour. And on May 12th at 10 o'clock, there's a writers' forum that they've organized, and Michael Perry and John Hildebrandt and I will be at the Eau Claire Regional Arts Center, again, at 10 o'clock, and we're going to be talking about our writing and sense of place and all of that sort of thing. So those are some events that are coming up, Larry.
Wow. You and John Hildebrandt and
Michael Perry.
Michael Perry. Oh, would I love to be there for that. That's good. What a conversation that's going to be.
I'm looking forward to it.
And let's go back to this afternoon for a minute. Now, again, you're at Black River Falls.
Yeah, it's at the Skyline Golf Course. And I'm doing a program called Stories from the Land. I'll be doing a little bit on Whispers and Shadows, a little bit on a couple other books as well.
That's going to be so much fun. And, you know, the Whispers and Shadows, really, as you say, it's a kind of a compilation of thoughts that you have about
the land, about the environment, and more particularly, it's a story about how I got to where I am today. Yeah. Once you reach a certain age, and you and I are pushing that certain age.
Oh, yes, we are.
you begin to think about how in the world did I get here? What are some of the reasons that I am interested in what I'm interested in today? And so that's I tried to answer that question in Whispers and Shadows. I should mention something else. People ask me, where in the world did you get such a dumb title, Whispers and Shadows? What in the world does that mean? Well, it has a fantastic meaning because it was, again, my dad who suggested to me that don't just listen to the loud noises, listen to the whispers every so often, because occasionally, and not only occasionally, often, it's the whispers where the true and deep and meaningful messages rest. And likewise, just because something is brightly lit doesn't mean that it's all that important. look in the shadows, because it's in the shadows that oftentimes the important things are overlooked. So listen yeah. for the whispers and look in the shadows. It has great meaning for nature. It has great meaning for life itself.
It surely does. You know, talking about your book and remembrances, and we have an email from Ellen from Boltonville, who has a 13-year-old granddaughter who gobbles up books with a historical bent, anything with any history. And as Ellen says, it sounds like your books tell history stories of growing up in Wisconsin. Would any of your books be appropriate for a 13-year-old? There's no question about her reading abilities. Just wonder if the content would be appropriate. Which book would you suggest? You could suggest quite a few.
Well, first off, I would suggest that almost all of them a 13-year-old would find fascinating. Whispers and Shadows, I would strongly recommend. A Quiet Season, which is a story about winter in Wisconsin, history of all of that, and my growing up with winter, that would be another one. And, Limping Through Life, I think she might find that interesting as well, because it's my growing up story. I happened to have had polio when I was in eighth grade in 1947. And so it's all about, the story is about what it was like on the farm without any of the conveniences that we know today, and be stricken with polio at the same time. Not that I want anybody to feel sorry for me. That's not the point. The point is, these are the things that my dad did, that a lot of other people did, to help me pull through a time that was devastatingly awful.
Yeah, and you write about it's. It appears in your Whispers and Shadows book, at least
a little bit.
A little bit of that. And part of, as I recall, you had the opportunity, because you were at home and for a long time couldn't do a lot to read and really develop.
Several things happened. Polio is largely why I'm a writer today, because I couldn't play basketball. I couldn't walk. For a very long time. And in fact, the story that I have in the Limping book is the story about how I tried out for the baseball team as a freshman at Wild Rose High School, when every freshman was supposed to try out for the baseball team. And here I could hardly walk. And the pitcher hit me in the head with the ball because I couldn't get out of the way. And the coach said to me something that at the moment did not sound all that appropriate, but he said, "Jerry, I don't think you're going to make the baseball team," the understatement of the day. But then he offered an alternative. He said, "I think you might consider taking typewriting." Oh, how I will thank Paul Wright, who was the coach in 1947, for saying to me, "I think you should take typewriting." Because little did I know that the typewriting class, which was made up of all girls, which wasn't all that bad in the first place, little did I know that that typewriting class was also the newspaper staff.
Yeah.
And so I was almost immediately reporter for the Rosebud, the name of the Wild Rose High School newspaper. And by the time I was a junior, I was the assistant editor. By the time I was a senior, I was the editor of the Rosebud, making assignments to others to report. And of course, I was typing most of it because I knew how.
Yeah?
That's what set that group apart. If you knew how to type, well, you were a candidate for the Rosebud.
Well, you know what? I took typing in high school, too, because I knew that 95% of the people in that class were young girls, young women.
Well, I took it for a different reason, but discovered that it wasn't all that bad.
Jerry Apps, our guest today, a storyteller extraordinaire, author of the book we're talking about, Whispers and Shadows, A Naturalist Memoirs, and certainly we're going to invite you to join in and talk with us as well. Probably the fast, you know, if you want somebody who can type fast, you need to talk to Judith Sears-Poisson. I am actually a fast typer.
You are a fast typer.
I'm a fast typer.
Oh, she can type fast. I hear those keys clicking away. I sit right next to her in the in our office there. We share an office.
Well, I must tell you very quickly, I smoked the girls in the typewriting test. And why? Because I was milking cows by hand. And
oh, your fingers.
And we were using manual typewriters, and my little pinky was strong as strong could be, and the girls could not do the A, and I could.
And there are a lot of A's.
And nobody knew what to do with a semicolon anyway, so that didn't matter.
Oh, man, this is so much fun. I hope you're having fun as you listen in today. This is Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Membership Drive. Listeners like you are so important to our WPR income. Your gift takes just a few minutes of your time, and it keeps the Larry Mueller Show and all those programs you enjoy on WPR going strong. So I hope you'll invest in your future listening. Donate right now at WPR.org. or by phoning 888-202-2552.
So I don't want to pull a Chicken Little and say the sky is falling, the sky is falling, but we have a dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now for only the next 7 minutes or so from current members, including 9XM Leadership Circle members Joe and Gene Silverberg from Madison and a 9XM member from Middleton. We are at $2,935. The match is $6,200.
So we're not quite half there.
Yeah, something like that. I can't even do the math. I'm so excited.
No, it's about
but yeah,
halfway.
we have over $3,000 to go, and we really don't want to leave a penny of this very generous challenge on the table. So your gift of $50 will turn into $100, $100 will turn into $200, and so on. Please take advantage of this match and double your support for WPR programs when you give. Right now, because this challenge ends at noon. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Jerry Abbs has been a guest with us many, many times, and we have some obviously some other regular guests as well. Sandy Sawchuk, who helps you with your pets. Scott Craven, he's always happy to speculate on your wildlife sightings. Our weather guy, Steve Ackerman and John Martin, and our bird guy, Bill Volkert, who's back, and we're going to hear about his recent trip.
Yes, he had an amazing around-the-world birding trip, and we're going to hear all about it in May. They all cover topics near and dear to your heart. Sandy told us was on the cutting edge of the canine influenza outbreak. She was giving us literally information that was new as she walked into the studio. They give you advice. They give you ideas. And because you've come to trust and appreciate these and so many other guests, please support this program with your dollars right now. It's easy. Just go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You give to WPR to support the programs you love, and as an added incentive, we have something special during this spring membership drive. It's the 2015 WPR Artist Mug, designed by Nick Robleski, an award-winning woodcut printmaker from the Driftless region of Wisconsin, who's been a guest on the show.
Oh, I didn't even know that. The Artist Mug series is a wonderful tradition. Larry has collected them all. This year's mug is really lovely. It features two swans flying through a starry night sky, and it can be yours when you give $12.50 a month. That comes out to $150 or more. Ask for your mug right now and show your support for WPR and get that pledge doubled right now. WPR.org or
888-202-2552. Phone calls, emails, that deadline. And I have that meeting in half an hour. I'll listen to WPR for a few minutes. And that'll be a nice break.
17 of those are new members. We love it.
We're looking for your pledge of support.
Pledge drive? You've got to be kidding me. They have lots of business donors. I don't know why they call on the air to bother us for our measly dollars. What's the point?
The point, Aaron, is what you call measly donations add up to the single biggest piece of our budget.
No way.
No way what? That the radio's talking to you or that your donation is a crucial part of our funding?
Both, I guess. But since you've got my attention, tell me more about the support from businesses. I hear them all the time. Doesn't that cover your costs?
We do have hundreds of business sponsors, and we're grateful to them. But back to listener support. Like I said, the single biggest piece of our budget comes from donors like you.
So you're saying I should give?
Do you value WPR programs?
Absolutely. I mean, I listen every day.
Well then, Aaron, it's time to give.
We really are talking to you. Don't make us come through the radio. Pledge now. Here's someone to tell you how.
You can make your donation in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Judith Sears-Poisson, asking for your gift to listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio during our spring membership drive. And maybe your pledge is $5 a month, or maybe it's $100 a month. We appreciate and we count on your gift.
And we especially count on your gift right now. We still have the dollar-for-dollar match in effect. We have made some progress, so thank you for that. But we are at $3,345 out of $6,200, and only about 4 minutes to make it. So please consider your gift right now. Is listening to WPR worth $4 a day to you? Well, if it is, consider becoming a member of the 9XM Leadership Circle. 9XM members are listeners who contribute $1,200 or more a year to support WPR programs. That works out to less than $4 a day.
And if you find that you've been getting more value from WPR in the past year, maybe consider a contribution that puts you into that 9XM Leadership Circle. Make your gift right now at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552.
We have a dollar-for-dollar match right now up to $6,200. We only have a couple minutes to go, and we really don't want to leave a penny of that on the table. It's a great time to pledge because current members, including Joe and Jean Silverberg from Madison and another 9XM member from Middleton, are doubling every dollar you give, but only if you give right now. Double your impact right now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
When you pledge, you'll be adding your voice to the 50,000 members who support Wisconsin Public Radio. Your contribution, any amount, is pooled with other member contributions to make up the single largest piece of our budget.
And that budget pie goes to support the programs you rely on every day. So please make your pledge right now. There's still time for us to make this challenge. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Pledge right now. And thank you. Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. Like to talk with authors on this program. Some authors really capture the feel of a place. And I think for me, at least, and probably for you too, Jerry Apps does that perfectly when he writes about Wisconsin. And I'm Larry Mueller. Of course, great to have you along today on the Ideas Network. Jerry, a storyteller and author of many books, including, Campfires and Loon Calls, Horse-Drawn Days, the Quiet Season, Remembering Country Winters, and his most recent is Whispers and Shadows, a naturalist memoir. And Jerry, thanks again for spending time with
sure,
us.
Sure, it's always fun, Larry.
Oh, I tell you, it is so much fun. And we were talking earlier about some of the events that you've got coming up, and one of them is actually today. It's 6 o'clock, isn't it?
6:30.
6:30. Black River Falls
Skyline Golf Course.
6:30. Don't miss it. You're in that area, but you know, all the other ones, there's so many. You should mention your, if you haven't, I know you have not mentioned your website, and you should, because
yes, it's jerryapps.com, JerryApps, all one word, .com. And go to my website and click on my blog. Most people know what a blog is these days. Just click on blog. And the end of my blog, which I write every week, is a schedule of where I am speaking or doing radio or television or one thing or the other. So jerryapps.com, click on blog. By the way, you can sign up for the blog, and then it comes to you automatically once a week in your email. But if you don't want to do that, just go to my website and click on it, and you'll find out where I am. That's the biggest question I get all the time is, where are you going to be next week? I should be sitting under a shade tree someplace, but I'm not.
Well, I tell you what, you and I have had a lot of fun. I've been out with you on a couple of occasions where we've gone, and it's so much fun to go with you. Always a nice crowd. They have great questions, and we had a lot of fun. In fact,
I was at UW-Fox Cities just last week during the book festival, and they remembered the Friday we were there.
You and I?
Yeah, we were doing – we filled up the room. There was a standing room in the back, and I was telling my dumb stories about growing rutabagas.
That was such a good story.
and we had – I had 150 people there on Monday at noon, and there was no place to park. I couldn't believe it.
Well, I tell you what, they're going to enjoy hearing about your book, and You know, there are many things that kind of touched me about the book. One of the things I really enjoyed and sort of thought about this in relation to my own storytelling had to do with your kids and the stories you'd tell your kids, or they'd even make up themselves at night, which I thought this is such a wonderful idea. If people haven't thought of it, they need to.
Let me say a little bit about that. When we got the farm in 1966, and the kids were like 2, 3, and 4, just little tykes.
Yeah.
And of course they had been born here in the city, and we would go out there on vacation for a week or so, and I thought they were going to be bored like you couldn't imagine. Well, they weren't. After the first couple of days, they were just having a ball, and I just let them run. Yep. I mean, we had all these acres, and Ruth was my wife, a little concerned, but I said, I'll let them explore. That's what we used to do. Well, at night, they slept up in the loft of this old granary that we had tried to turn into a cabin, and I would say, okay. I'm going to make up a story for you, but you got to tell me what the characters are. And so each of them would come up with a character. It might be a ladybug, might be a turtle, whatever.
A whale.
my son Steve, he was off the page always with a. and so at the moment I've got to make up a story that makes some sense. And so I would do that every night. I've got to go back and look at. I have a story about this whale in this book, but I have a whole bunch of those stories. Every night I would tell a story like that, and the kids just loved it. I mean, because they were involved because it was their character and what was going to happen to their character, and it had to be something from nature. It couldn't be some exotic thing. It had to be connected to nature.
And it's funny, and I'm not even going to tell how this story turns out, but the one story they came up with, you had two caterpillars. Yeah. No, a caterpillar, two ladybugs, and a whale.
Yeah, that's it.
And the pond.
Yeah, the pond.
And I'm telling you, I looked at that, and I was so reminded of times when I did something very similar with my own kids. So,
yeah, it's just a really fun way to wrap up the day and to tell me what it was that they saw that was interesting to them. Now, I don't think Steve saw a whale, but that's beside the point. Every night they would see something that caught their attention, and they would want me to tell a story about it.
You know, and I forgot to give the phone number coming out of our break here. That number, if you want to join in, have a question or comment or experience to share with Jerry, 800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@WPR.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Miller Show. We'd love to hear from you. You know, you profiled many writers who had an influence on you, and I really enjoyed reading through that.
Well, it's true. One of the fascinating things about this great state of Wisconsin is we have spawned some of the finest nature environmental writers in the nation.
Ever.
In the world.
Yeah.
And I was privileged in 1970 when I wrote my first book, The Land Still Lives. And that was the year that Gaylord Nelson introduced the Earth Day to us. And I happened to be at the Stock Pavilion on campus to hear him talk on that April day in 1970. And then Bob Gard, as many of you will remember that name, was a person I was working with at the time. And Bob said, well, we ought to get in touch with Gaylord Nelson and see if he will write the introduction to your book. And we did, and he did. And I have that intro in this book. And what Gaylord Nelson said in 1970, which is a few years ago now, is as applicable in 2015 as it was in 1970.
You are exactly right. And you know, some of the Sigurd Olson, there's another.
Well, Sigurd, most people don't know that Sigurd, that they associate him with the Boundary Waters and living in Ely, Minnesota. But he grew up in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And he grew largely in Door County and then in northern Ashland area. And I had a chance to meet Sigurd Olson because we College of Ag and Life Sciences gave him an honorary, or the university gave him an honorary degree 1 year, and I happened to meet him at that time. So I had that brief connection with Sigurd Olsen. And, of course, everybody knows about Eldo Leopold and all his contributions, but not so many associate John Muir with our state.
Yeah.
And a quick story about John Muir. Of course, he grew up in Marquette County. He was born in Scotland. I was teaching in Alaska one summer, and I went to a little bookstore in Anchorage, and I said, have you ever heard of John Muir? They said, John Muir, oh my gosh. And we walked to the back of the bookstore, and there was a wall, literally a wall of John Muir books. He, of course, had introduced the country to the national park system. He was largely responsible for creating the national park system and had a fantastic influence on Alaska. And they were so proud of John Muir's contributions to their state that this library, this bookstore guy, he was bound determined that I should see all these John Muir books, which I knew about.
It's a wonderful thing. And, you know, I remember even as a kid driving, and my dad would, I'm almost suddenly blanking on the road, but there was a stop, and it was the John Muir View, and it's in Western Wisconsin.
That's, I guess that's true. Yeah, I know about that.
And you get out and you, it's a just pull over with a car, and there's this wonderful, wonderful, glorious view of the Wisconsin landscape.
Well, then there were some other people that influenced me a lot, and they would be totally unknown. And one was his name was Morton Oliphant, Oliphant. As a kid, we called him Morty Elephant. We couldn't pronounce. We didn't know about Oliphant. Anyway, Morty, as we called him, he had such a speech impediment that nobody could really understand him, but my dad could. And so in the depths of winter, I remember so clearly, and I have the story in the book, we went down to visit Morty. He had absolutely nothing. A few skinny cows, no electricity, not even a car. He had nothing. Lived all alone. Everybody was shunning him or ignoring him because he couldn't understand him, his speech impediment. But we were in his kitchen, and sitting at the table, and my dad said, well, I bet Jerry would like to see what you have in that box by the wood stove. And I'm I don't know, 5 years old or so. And he clicks his teeth, and out from that box comes a full-grown raccoon. And this raccoon comes over and stands in front of Morty, and he stands on his hind legs, and he holds out his little paws, because Morty's got some candy he's going to give to this raccoon. And believe me, these two carried on a conversation. I could not understand either one of them. But they understood each other. And then, to add to the story, the raccoon went back to its little box. And my dad said, well, I bet Jerry would like to see what lives down in your cellar. And Morty went over, and he lifted up a floorboard in the kitchen. I mean, it was a very rustic old kitchen. And believe it or not, out of that, from that cellar under Morty's house, through that board that he lifted up, a full-grown badger appeared. Now, badgers are not like Bucky Badger. They're not friendly. They are mean buggers. This badger also walked over, and Morty and the badger carried on a conversation. I have never forgotten that. I had some fantastic respect for this man. He knew nature in a way that I would never know nature, because he could converse with the wild animals.
Yeah.
And believe me, I swear they understood each other. They just, the badger would cock its head to the side, and it was unbelievable. So those are the kind of people that influenced my interest in nature, that go beyond the likes of Gaylord Nelson, Eldo Leopold, John Muir, and so on.
Sarah in Waupaca is up here with a comment. Sarah, hi. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun to be able to talk with Jerry. And we've actually talked quite a few times. I was a student of his a zillion years ago in the Rhinelander School of the Arts. And I have a textbook that he wrote and was using in his writing class system at Gilead University. And it's interesting to go back and look at it, because it talks about how you're supposed to research by going to the library and checking on the things like telephone books and resources there. Well, of course, we're now using the internet. but it's still fun to go back and read the book. And it is signed, by the way, by Jerry.
Well, thank you. Some of that's a little more than a little obsolete today, but the fundamentals are still there. And good writing requires excellent research. I don't care if you're writing fiction, nonfiction, memoirs, or whatever you're doing. You research is a part of it, and that's one of the messages that I share with all of my writing students.
Absolutely. And again, I just want to mention again, you're today Black River Falls at the golf course.
That's right, at 6:30 this afternoon. It is a wonderful day to come out. And I'll bet you that golf course is about as pretty a place as you can imagine right now. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, always a pleasure, Jerry.
I don't play golf. I'm a looker.
Well, here I've got another person who I don't think plays golf.
Nope.
I don't think she may have lifted a club once or twice, maybe.
Only mini golf. I'm a wicked mini golfer.
She's a wicked mini golfer, and she's going to beat you if you want to challenge her. Judith Sears Poisson. She knows her way around a putter, that's for sure. And she knows her way around the microphone, too, when it comes to asking for your support here at Wisconsin Public Radio. Our goal is to bring you great topics like Wisconsin author and storyteller Jerry Apps. Your support makes that happen. And I tell you what, we've had a wonderful response, but we still need some help.
Yes.
At WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We want to give a huge thank you. You know, we had that challenge grant last hour, and we came so close. We got to $6,113. Thank you so much. We took advantage of almost every penny of that $6,200 challenge. We so appreciate it. Our goal right now before 12:30 is to get 21 pledges, and we have two so far, so 19 more of you.
Support the station you love and help us meet this goal when you give now at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552.
If you're like me, you've been enjoying today's conversation with Jerry Apps about his latest book, Whispers and Shadows, a Naturalist's Memoir. This is an example of the fun and interesting conversations we have on the show.
I love talking with Jerry.
It
is really a lot of fun, and I think it's a lot of fun to listen to. I hope you'll take a few minutes now to make this program and many more programs possible. Figure out a gift amount that works for you, and then just go ahead and make your pledge. And you do it at WPR.org or by phoning 888-202-2552.
In this membership drive, you can choose the 2015 WPR Artist Mug as your thank you gift. That's a thank you for a pledge of $12.50 a month or more. That comes out to $150. It's a USA-made mug with artwork by Nick Robleski from the Driftless region of Wisconsin. Boy, talk about a beautiful part of the state. Your pledge supports the programs, and you'll love this year's mug.
It features it's kind of a dreamy scene. Mm-hmm. We had two swans. They're floating through a night sky. Check out the design and ask for the mug when you pledge right now at WPR.org. Or phone 888-202-2552.
Your call is important to us, so please leave a message after the beep.
I'm 21, my husband's 26, and we have a 2-year-old son and a 1-month-old son. And we absolutely refuse to have a television in our home. We just won't do it. We don't want to raise our children on television. But my husband is a news junkie, so we're constantly listening to it from 7 o'clock in the morning until 11 o'clock at night. Yeah, we listen to you guys every day.
Thank you so much. If you have pledged already, if you haven't, now's the time to do it. Go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Judith Sears Poisson, asking for your support of WPR during this spring membership drive. And maybe your gift is 10 or 20 bucks a month. Whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
You may pay $100 a month for your cable service, for example. You're willing to do that because you get entertainment and information all month long.
You get these same things on this station. And in fact, the quality of what you get from WPR is really unmatched. Become a sustaining member. Hey, Make it a 9XM leadership gift of $100 a month or more at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Keep the station going.
You know, if you listen to this show with any regularity at all, you know that Larry has a long and deep history and affection for Wisconsin and for WPR. He's been on the air here for coming up on 50 years in not too long a time, and he's been a lifelong resident of Wisconsin. That knowledge and affection for the state and all of the things that make it such a unique place to live come through each and every day in the conversations that Larry has with our guests. You just simply can't get a show like this anywhere else, and you can't find a host like Larry anywhere else. This show is possible pledge by pledge only by listener support of Wisconsin Public Radio. So it's your turn. Give now. Support this program. Support Larry and all the programs you enjoy. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we're looking for 19 more pledges in the next 5 minutes. That's certainly doable. Make your gift to support the WPR programs you enjoy and rely on every day. Your pledge right now, whatever the amount, at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. It really makes a difference.
Maybe you remember listening to WPR as a child, or maybe your kids really enjoy certain programs.
Whether it's an interesting story on NPR News, maybe it's a piece of music, or laughing along with the weekend shows, WPR probably caught your imagination whenever you listened, but maybe it was as a child, and it engages the minds of children today.
And you make all that possible when you participate as a member. So give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
So happy that when you became a regular listener to Wisconsin Public Radio, that was an important first step. Now take that next step and become a financial supporter.
And that step from listener supporter is easy. It's not a very steep step at all. Decide how much you'd like to give. Maybe $5 a month is a good starting point. And then make your pledge. And you can do that right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You want a lot of news and information in the coming year, and your support now makes that news and information possible. Your pledge, any amount, makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
This might not be something you know already, but it's important that we point it out. Listeners provide the single largest piece of our budget here at WPR. It's really that simple. So make a pledge, maybe $10 or $15 a month or any amount that's comfortable for you, and you'll be doing your part to keep this station strong. You can help. Just go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
We're kind of stuck right
we
now.
We are kind of stuck.
Stuck on 19 pledges needed in the next couple of minutes. So help us get off the schneid here and make your pledge right now during our spring membership drive. It's so important.
And, you know, I think if a lot of people call and go online, it'll be like pushing through a little log jam. All of a sudden, all these pledges will just come bursting through. You can help do that. And this pledge drive, you can ask for the fourth annual WPR Artist Mug. This year, it's designed by Wisconsin artist Nick Robleski, and it's a beautiful design. The mug is USA made. It's yours for a pledge of $12.50 a month. That's $150 or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
If you've been thinking about it, now is really the time to act because we're running out of time here. 19 more pledges to go in the next couple of minutes. We can do it with your help. Please contribute now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Ross and Connie from Poinette say WPR, it's always there when you need it, which is every day. Well, thank you so much, Ross and Connie. Join Ross and Connie right now with your pledge of support, 888-202-2552 or WPR.org.
That's WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. If you've already contributed, thank you. If you haven't, do it right now. And thanks for listening.